Morning, church. Morning to Saturday. Morning. Welcome. Today we're at Lent day 25, and I'm just going to start us off with a word of prayer. That your word will go forth, Lord Father, and it will, that your seed, Lord Father, will fall on good soil today, Lord Father, that when we hear your word, Lord, that it will fall on fertile soil and that we will listen to it and obey it, Lord Father, and that we'll not just obey, but we'll obey with such joy, Lord Father. So, Lord God, we just thank you for today and this morning. I pray all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
Now today you're listening to Acts 14. And in Acts 14 is a story of a lame man who, after hearing the word of God, had faith to be healed and was. In Peru, there was a little girl that attended a listening program at her school. And as she was listening, she also had faith. Now she had a hernia, and so she was not able to run and take part in the different programs. They had taken her to the doctor, and he said she had to have an operation. She was scheduled to go to the hospital for this operation. Now, just a week or two before, a young boy had had the same operation and had died, and so she was terrified. So she believed Jesus and was healed. But when she went home and told her parents, "Listen, I've been healed," they said, "Mija," which is daughter, no, we know you're afraid, but we'll be okay. So they took her to the doctor, and she declared to the doctor, "No, I'm healed." And he said the same thing. "Yes, small child, I know you're afraid, but it'll be okay. Let me see." So he pulled up her shirt to examine where the hernia was and was shocked that this bulging hernia was gone, and they couldn't find it. She really had faith and was healed. Her family were not Christians, but after this, they also went to the school to hear the word of God and became believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. So believe and be healed.
Okay, if you would turn
today
to
today you're listening to Act.
Turn to your app with me. And I'm going to start with reading Acts 14, 1 to 28. So Acts 14, 1 to 28. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stir up the Gentiles and poison their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding countries. And there they continued to preach the gospel. Now at Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him, seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. Now when the crowd saw that Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lycaonian, "The God have come down to us in the likeness of men." Barnabas they call Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priests of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heavens and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But the disciples gathered about him. He rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them, and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. Okay, now let's turn to Luke 11, 14 to 32. Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He cast out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons," while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." And he said these things. A woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." Okay, let's go and read the devotions for today. Like the other healings performed by Jesus, the casting out of evil spirit is a powerful sign of the coming kingdom that Jesus is inaugurating upon the earth. As with modern times, the people of Jesus' day loved signs and constantly demanded them from Jesus. However, Jesus continually taught that the purpose of the signs is not the signs themselves, but rather to point to his authority. To respond appropriately to the signs meant recognizing Jesus for who he is, repenting of our sins, and turning to God to be saved. Jesus is much greater than Jonah, and his offer is fullness of life in the kingdom of God, the gift of eternity. Okay, let's go to the prayer. Father, we pray for those engaged in financial services industries such as banking, investment, and insurance. We pray that they would not be seduced by riches or worldly success, but instead by kingdom values. We pray for the many Alpha courses taking place in this sector. Amen. Okay, so I'm just going to do a short sharing. And I wanted to focus on Luke 11:29 to 32. Because I had a lot of questions when I was reading it. And as I was reading it, I guess a few questions came to mind. The first one was, what does it mean when it says that the men of Nineveh and the queen of the south, which is Queen of Sheba, will condemn the generation to whom Jesus preached? And the other question I had was, why would his generation be considered worthy of greater condemnation? And at the end, I was thinking, and what does it mean for us today? So if you look at the passage, here Jesus used two different examples of Gentile groups to really rebuke the Jews of their unbelieving and hardened hearts. If you look at, if you know the story of Nineveh, right? The men of the of Nineveh repented at the hearing of the word that Jonah gave. And they're foreigners, they're Gentiles. And same with Queen of Sheba. If you know, if you want to review and go back to 1 King 10 and read of her, she's a queen, she's a foreigner, and she traveled a very long way by camel just so that she can hear the wisdom of Solomon. And when she did, you know, she went and asked him hard questions, and he was able to answer them all. She acknowledged Solomon's God, even though being a foreigner, not a Gentile, a Gentile and not not a Jew. She acknowledges God and praise God for who he is, and praise God for appointed Solomon as a king to maintain justice and righteousness. And so these two examples are people who are foreigners who, one example, people repented when they heard the word of God, and the other was Queen of Sheba, who traveled a very long way just so that she can hear the wisdom of God. And so what is Jesus' point here in this chapter? He contrasts these two examples with the people of this generation, which was those of Jesus' time. And so I think his point was that what he's trying to say was that if being foreigners, Gentiles, and Jesus wasn't there, he wasn't walking in the midst of Queen of Sheba or, you know, the man of Nineveh, and if Jesus wasn't even there with them and they came and repented and believed God, what excuse do the Jews have, right? In this generation, the Jews, right, they saw Jesus performing signs. They saw Jesus teaching at the synagogues. The Pharisees knew the law really, really, really well. They know their scriptures, right? They know the word of God, and yet hearing, they didn't really hear. They didn't really understand. Seeing, they didn't really perceive, because their hearts were hardened and their hearts were dull. And so, like, if you go back to this in the beginning, he says, this generation is asking for a sign. And if you remember in the beginning of Luke, 14, Jesus had just cast out a demon. He had just performed a sign. And yet the Pharisees were like challenging him, and still asking, demanding a sign from heaven. And Jesus said to them, replied was, you know, it's not a sign that you're seeking, right? It's, he's talking to their hearts, that your heart is whatever sign I perform to you, I could do so many things in front of you, but if your heart is not there to obey me, to repent, and your heart is hardened, you're not going to see it. You're not going to understand it because your ears have become dull. Your heart has become dull. So no wonder God said, would call this a wicked generation. And no wonder he would say that the men of Nineveh or the queen of Sheba will condemn the generation of Jesus. Because Jesus being greater than Jonah, being greater than Solomon, walked amongst them, show them the signs and wonders, you know, and yet they still resisted him because of their unbelief. And so as I was praying about this, I was asking, so God, what does this mean for us? And I believe it's a warning, right, for us as well, that today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, and that we have no excuse. And that God is here, you know, even though we don't see him physically, you know, but we know we have the Bible, we have the word with us, that we are without excuse. And so when I was praying, God brought me to the verse in Deuteronomy, and I'll just read it out. So in Deuteronomy, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. 30. Eleven, it says, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it?' But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it." And I just really feel like God was saying that we're not like Queen of Sheba, where we have to go a very, very far away to say, who's going to get the word for us so that I can obey it? Or that we have to travel far away. But God is saying, no, the word is in you. It is in your heart that you may observe it, that God has written his laws in our hearts, that we may observe it. And I really feel like he's trying to say to us that we don't have an excuse. We don't have an excuse not to obey him, And I think the key point of obedience is if you... we're here during EMP yesterday. Rachel talked about Luke 11, 1 to 13. And her main point was that you have to know the heart of God, right? In the beginning of Luke, he talks about basically the Lord teaching the Lord's Prayer. But at the end, he's saying that, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, because I am a good father. You know, that he's a good father who wants to give us good gifts. And I think the key to obedience is that we have to first understand that God has our best interests at thought. You know, that he's saying that when you obey, it's not supposed to be a hard thing. It's not a hard commandment, you know, but that when you know his heart for you, when you know that he is for you, when you know that, that he is for you, that obedience will bring deliverance and freedom, that's God's heart for you, that obedience is not supposed to be hard, that there should be so much joy in obeying him. So, let us pray. So, Father, we just thank you that you have made it easy for us, Lord Father, that you have written your word in our hearts, that it is in our mouth, that we may observe it, that it says in the word that you have written your laws in our hearts, Lord Father, that you cause us to walk in your statue, and that, Father, it is not supposed to be hard, Lord God, when we understand that you are a good Father, that you are for us and not against us, Lord Father, that you have our best interests at thought, that you love us, Lord God, that you want to give us fullness of life, Lord Father. May we understand that, Lord God, and know that, Lord Jesus, you are much greater than Jonah and Solomon, and that you are here right now. And so today, when we hear your voice, and those of us here who are who hears you, maybe struggling to obey, maybe there's a word that God has spoken to you that you're struggling with, I just want to encourage you this morning that God is for you. And that don't delay your obedience. That today when you hear your voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your hearts, for he is a good God. Do not harden your hearts. And may you obey with such joy. And it says in Luke 11, verse 28, he says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. And thank you, Lord. Amen.
Heaven's spun creation, spread in adoration. Treasures woven by his love. His careful hands, they hold us safe within his promise, calling and of this to me. I will sing of all you've done. I remember how far you've carried me from beginning until the end. You are faithful, faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. A father's heart that for me, a never-ending story of love that's always chasing me. His kindness overwhelming me unending, he's never given up on me. Sing of all you've done. I remember how far you've carried me from beginning until the end. You are faithful, faithful to to the end. I will sing of all you've done. I remember how far you've carried me from beginning until the end. You are faithful, faithful to the end. Oh, you're faithful to the end, God. Faithful to the end. There wasn't a day my side, There wasn't a day that you let me fall. In all of my life, your love has been true. In all of my life, I will worship you. There wasn't a day that you weren't by my side. There wasn't a day that you let me fall. In all of my life, your love has been true. In all of my life, I will worship you. I will worship you.
Okay, so let's turn to our corporate prayer. Let's pray for our community, our brothers and sisters who are battling with cancer. Let's just pray and declare healing over this house and to really stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Let's pray also for friends and families who are sick and in need of salvation. Let's really pray that they hear the word of God and that their hearts are softened to receive the salvation that Jesus has to offer. And also we want to pray for those who are battling with infirmities in our house. Let's pray for healing as well. Let's pray for them. I want to pray for those who are looking for a job. I just want to ask God to open the right doors for them. I pray for that they pray in a position of rest, knowing that God already has something for them. Yeah, so let's pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's turn to the mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea, that God will open doors for ministry, missional opportunities in Asia, and also let's pray for the persecuted church in the Middle East. Let's pray for the SP weekend gatherings. Let's pray for Alpha, PMC, GIC, Prison Outreach, Drug Rehab Outreach, Migrant Workers Outreach, Sunday Services, Noah's Ark, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, Spin Services and Activities, and all other meetings. Let's really cover them and pray that that they welcome the Holy Spirit in their midst as they continue to do outreach. And yeah. Let's pray for the house churches that are meeting today. Fortress, House to House, Mawan, Southside, Tavistock, and Westside. Let's pray for fruitful discussion and also that they would welcome the Holy Spirit to move as well in their house church. Father, we thank you that you're good. We thank you that, Lord, that you're just good, Lord. So, Father, may we bask in your sweet presence of your fellowship today. May we hear your word and observe it, Lord God, and observe with the joy. So we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
It's great. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. So feel the darkness shaking, all the dead are coming back to life, oh, back to life.